Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening and stay connected.
I've been a fisherman since I was a little boy. I started in the ocean along the Jersey Shore, and yes, there are things in New Jersey that are worth engaging in, where during summer vacations, my dad and I fished in the surf and occasionally from a chartered fishing boat. I caught bluefish, kingfish, flounder, blowfish, striped bass, and an occasional sea robin, which for those of you who may not have seen one, is probably the ugliest fish that God ever made. In my early 20s, I learned to fly fish, and I've been an avid fly fisherman ever since. I've had the good fortune to travel to Labrador on several occasions and to Alaska, where I was afraid of the bears most of the time, but I had a good time there anyway. Although it was exciting to catch a big bass from a boat trolling or to battle a bluefish in the surf, I have to say the most challenging and interesting fishing for me has been fly fishing for trout. I was surprised and delighted when I discovered that I could actually catch trout 5 miles from my house in Sandy Springs on the Chattahoochee, a wonderful surprise for a transplanted New Englander. In order to successfully fly fish for trout, one needs to determine exactly what the fish are feeding on, and at that particular moment, and match the hatch, which means that the fly with which you choose to fish, absent a huge amount of luck, needs to be the same shape, size, and color of whatever the fish is feeding upon. The fly also needs to be cast so that it floats by the trout just as a real insect would float by. If using a dry fly, it has to land on the water softly and float without any drag in the line and stay on the surface, or the trout simply won't bite. It's also necessary to enter the water with as little disturbance as possible, or the fish will be spooked and won't even entertain taking the fly in the first place. To add one last complicating factor, when the trout takes the fly, the response from the fisherman to set the hook needs to be immediate, because the fish will actually spit the fly out, if not intentionally and instantaneously hooked. I love the need for precision. I love the thought that has to be put into the process. I love the fact that it is possible to fool a trout into taking an artificial fly as a result of being delicate in presentation, clever, quick, and stealthy. One thing that a fly fisherman learns is that fly fishing can be a lesson in scarcity relative to the number of fish caught. Fly fishermen often spend an entire day fishing with only one or two fish caught and hopefully released to be caught again. Or some days, a day ends without having caught anything. Or in fishing vernacular, you get skunked. So, what does fly fishing have to do with Paul's conversion experience and the gospel reading from John? Hopefully something, because that's where I'm headed. In thinking about what I was going to say this morning, it occurred to me that God is the ultimate fly fisherman when God calls each one of us to serve. God knows exactly where we are in the metaphorical waters of our own lives. God also knows exactly what we are feeding on and what he needs to cast in our direction to attract us to use our individual gifts and service to God and each other. Once attracted and skillfully hooked, God releases us back into the world to do God's work. The one significant difference between fishing for trout and God fishing for and calling us is that when God determines it's time to call someone to do God's work or to modify or change God's call, God never fails to choose the right fly or to set the hook in time. Today's reading from Acts described Paul's conversion experience. St. Paul was probably an upper-class Jew, perhaps a Pharisee, and he was a Roman citizen. From what we learn about him in Acts and in his letters, I think it's safe to say that Paul was self-assured, he was aggressive, he was intelligent, he was articulate and thoughtful, he was, if anything, committed. And he was absolutely certain that his persecution of Christians was his calling. In fact, he witnessed and approved of the stoning of Stephen, and he was on his way to persecute more Christians when God attracted and caught him. Paul, before being called by God, could have been a member of our Congress. He was so certain that what he believed and what he was doing were right that the idea of compromise had not yet entered his mind. Paul is also a wonderful example of God calling someone who, from his beliefs and actions, would appear to be the least likely person God would choose to do God's work. God decided that Paul had the gifts that were necessary to be God's advocate and to convert Gentiles to Christianity. God's call to Paul was both dramatic and irresistible. And after Paul was hooked and landed, God released him back into the world to spend the rest of his life bringing God's message to others. Paul is also a marvelous example of someone who, once called, stayed focused on his mission, even in the face of constant challenges, disappointment, and assaults to his faith. Paul's gifts, formerly used for his own hateful and violent pursuits, were perfectly suited to serve God in ways that only God could have known. Peter, in this morning's gospel, is, on the other hand, I think, more like most of us than like Paul. To continue the fly fishing metaphor, Peter is caught and released back into the world, only need to be caught and released on multiple occasions to assure him who God was and what God was truly calling him to do. Peter, having already seen the resurrected Jesus twice, had returned home, and he decided to go fishing in the evening. Peter seemed to be sidetracked from his true call by not knowing what to do or how to respond to Jesus' resurrection. I think Peter did what we all do when we don't know how to respond to something. We tend to retreat and engage in something we know how to do as a distraction from our confusion or the challenge that we are facing. Peter, in his retreat, despite fishing with nets, didn't catch a thing through the evening. He was literally and figuratively in the dark, and his retreat into his comfort zone did not provide him clarity about what he needed to do to respond to God's call. Jesus appeared at daybreak, in the light, as the light, and he was not recognized once again. Jesus told Peter where to put the nets, and he caught more fish than the nets could hold. It was then that Peter recognized Jesus. Jesus attracted Peter's attention through the abundance that resulted from Jesus' presence. Jesus then asked Peter 3 times if he loved him, and then told him that his call was to take the message of abundant love out into the world. We know in general that Peter continued to struggle with his call to serve God because of doubts and the absence of certainty, a struggle that I think most of us engage in at one level or another. Peter's lack of certainty, frankly, is encouraging to me. His struggle with whom he was and what God wanted him to do rings true in my own experience. The good news is that his lack of certainty resulted, I think, in him keeping his heart and mind open to the possibility of a change in direction that might actually serve God in a more effective way. We know, for instance, that Peter and Paul disagreed and argued with each other concerning whether the Gentiles should be included in the mission. And Peter, with an open heart and mind, ultimately, and not easily, agreed to include them. God is willing to catch and release us as many times as are necessary to make sure that we're doing God's work the way God wants us to do it. Our task is to first discern what God has initially called us to do, and then, as faithful Christians, we need to be willing to engage in the idea that God may be trying to catch us one more time. Catch us one more time in order to restore us in the abundance of God's love and to release us to share that abundance with new focus, dedication, and Paul-like determination. Amen.